I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod. Howell and Jamie here this week. Yeah. Brought to you by TrustedVegas.com. Why not? Trusted Vegas, a great website with all the best advice. If you know anyone who's going to Vegas, I bet Tiernan does. Who do you know that's going to Vegas soon, Tiernan?
I don't know. Probably some people. Maybe my nan.
Your nan? Tell her. Maybe. Check out Trusted Vegas. Make sure you've made all the right choices. That's all. Welcome to the Box Set Pod. It's a beautiful evening. Last week, did you listen to last week's podcast that you weren't on, Tiernan?
Yes, I did. I did indeed.
Oh, and how miserable did we sound?
Probably about as miserable as I felt. So it was a good listen. The sad moment, I tell you, this is terrible timing. I was listening to it, and as Ben kind of said, he's been enjoying watching the royal family. Mm. Breaking news popped up on my screen that Caroline Ahern had died, and so I blame Ben.
Well, you've brought the mood down, straight away.
Yeah, terrible news.
All kinds of...
But in other news related, though, on the day we're recording this, have you seen the footage yet, Tiernan, of Ken Clark slagging off the Tory party off mic?
So what does he say? So basically, for the sake of history, if anyone's listening this backwards, we're in the middle of the Brexit thing. Britain has left or is going to leave. David Cameron has quit. Boris Johnson has quit. Nigel Farage has now quit. They basically set a bomb off and both of them didn't believe it went off and then jump ship. And we're left with the Tories trying to pick a leader and Jeremy Corbyn. That's all gone quiet. The Labour seems to have stopped.
Yeah, because the Chilcot report will arrive tomorrow from the time that we're recording this, and that's going to ruin about half of the Labour Party.
I see. Okay. So what has now Ken Clark, an established... I like Ken Clark. He's a straight-speaking Tory politician.
Yeah, he's one of the good... I think he's one of the sort of... You know, he seems like a human conservative, rather than a lizard or a robot. And that's quite rare, I think. So
well, he's a misguided man, as all conservatives are, but he's one that came from the working class. So although...
And he does love a good jazz session. He does his own jazz show.
Does he?
Does he?
I did not know that. Although he still has the mantra, you should be able to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, he forgets that he was lucky enough to do that and not everyone can do that on their own. But nonetheless, a nice man. I would be happy if he was Prime Minister. I'd be happier. What has he said in secret about the Tory party?
One of the lovely things, well, he's commented on pretty much everyone. He's mentioned that he didn't think that Andrea Leadsom or Boris Johnson are actually in favour of leaving the EU. They've just done it basically for power. He made some more... Gove, didn't he?
He said Michael Gove, Michael Gove was leader, I think he said something like, we'd be invading three countries by now.
that was it. That was brilliant. But that he did us all a favour by getting rid of Boris or something.
Oh, amazing.
He said Theresa May is a bloody difficult woman, but the person, I can't remember who he was talking to, but he just said, you and I work with Margaret
Malcolm Rifkind.
Well, for more like this, listen to Tiernan's podcast.
This week's one could have been replaced by 45 minutes of me screaming into the microphone. So, enjoy that.
Well, it is difficult. I listened to your one on the Brexit, and you have the same problem that we discussed with Armando Iannucci last week, which is almost like you can't satirise this. It's so ridiculous that there's almost nothing left to say. It's difficult to blow the lid off something that is so clearly missing a lid. you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it's changing every day. Like, I've never known... I mean, not that, you know, I came to politics quite late in my life, I think, sort of my sort of mid to late 20s. Everything is changing within 24 hours. Someone else has resigned. Something else has gone wrong. Someone else is accusing... So, you know, it's blowing up in a crazy way.
Oh, it's the most entertaining things have been in a long time, which is...
Absolutely,
good.
Yeah. That's the bad thing, but I always think this is terrible for the country, but for me, it is brilliant. It makes my job very easy.
We've just shown you could do doing a daily podcast. It'd be better to do a lot of 30-second podcasts, because just to keep up with it, you know, the news passes so quickly. It's like, it's ridiculous. Anyway, check out Tiernan's podcast. So, on tonight's podcast, Tiernan will be kind of chairing our chat later about a box set that he has chosen, iZombie. We'll be talking about that. Before then... Jamie has done a chart. What did I want to discuss? Oh, by the way, I would like to state for the record that there isn't enough West Wing.
Oh, what are you on about? Seriously? It is like you're... What? Are you joking?
I've gone full circle on the West Wing in the last sort of 3 weeks. I've watched every episode and I've caught up with myself again. And I'm like, oh, I was just watching this last week. And I'd also like to state that people say, there's this common, cool thing to say that when Aaron Sorkin stopped writing The West Wing, it got boring. And you mentioned recently this, I think, Jamie, but I agree, that actually the last two series with Santos involved and stuff...
Oh, the better.
I really do think they're better. Aaron Sorkin is a great writer, but you can hear Aaron Sorkin's voice in everybody's voice. Really fast talking, way too long sentences for human beings to speak. And whilst it's brilliant and poetic and musical and all of that, it becomes as a refreshing change when you get to the later stuff. And some of those last series, I think, had done down too much, and I wish that they would find a way to carry it on, because, you forget that those first couple of series, you only really have three series that are actually in the West Wing, in that world that you want to be in with Leo and everybody, and then it moves on. No, it moves on too quickly. Not enough time.
Have you thought about some sort of Kickstarter or petition to try and get Netflix to take it?
Maybe I'll just write fan fiction and we can all play the parts.
You could write some erotic fan fiction, Howell, about Josh Lyman.
I don't know. No one mentioned eroticism.
Yeah, about Howell, you were thinking it.
No.
You were going to do some dirty scenes with CJ Craig.
No, I wasn't. What part would you play if we were to reenact it, Jamie?
Toby!
Would you want to be Toby? What about you, Tiernan?
I have no idea. This sounds like something I don't want to be involved in.
Yeah.
Hey, hold on a minute.
Unless, I will happily... I think you should call it West Wang, definitely. Other than that, I don't want any part.
See, it is erotic fiction. There you go.
I think there's no way you'd be Toby, Jamie. I mean, just dream on. In what world would you be Toby? You think you can hold that kind of gravitas?
Yeah.
You're right.
Pull that bad boy off any day of the week.
Yeah, you'd be a security guard at best.
Come on.
Okay, Jamie, you've done something.
Yeah, I just thought, because we're halfway through 2016, and it did actually get me thinking about how much really brilliant TV I have already watched just this year, just in the last 6 months. And so I put together a top 10. And it's not, and sure, it's not just top 10. There's actually, you know, there's more than 10. I've accumulated all the stuff I've watched this year and just come up with the top 10 things so far that I've watched that I think are truly brilliant. Let me talk you through the top 10.
Quiet day at work today.
I did this at home, Howell, after a hard day working at the BBC.
Okay.
2016's top 10 by Jamie so far. Number 10, American Crime Story, O.J. Simpson versus the People.
Now that's brilliant. Number 10. Wow.
That's a number 10. That shows you the standard we are working at here.
Yeah.
And number 9, The Walking Dead. Brilliant season, this one. Back to top form. Although the season finale left somewhat a dissatisfied audience. At number 8, Orange is the New Black, back on form, season 4. I think it's been better this season. I think it's been a lot better.
I'm 2.5 episodes in. I've literally just paused it to do this.
You know what? It's a lot. It gets a lot better.
Okay.
They finally realised that they need to give Piper, even if she's not the most important character, she has to be given something. She has to be given a decent role within the show, and they've realised that, and they've taken it on, and the show seems to have found its tone and its rhythm. Number 7, House of Cards, back on form as well after a weak season 3.
Yep.
At number 6, Broad City. This is the one that Marsha might have mentioned as well. Brilliant comedy about two Jewish girls living in New York. At number 5, Man Seeking Woman. Are you still watching it, Howell?
No. No.
Should be doing
that's
it.
Brilliant.
The problem is that both with that and Transparent is that they required Amazon Prime and I couldn't face the £80. So I'd cancelled it after watching the first couple of episodes of those. So I would, if I was inclined to go illegal, but I'm not, I would continue with those.
Well, you should get back on it, Howell. have you watched it all, Tiernan?
Yeah, after listening to the pod that you did about Man Seeking Women, went straight through season 1 and 2, like in about a week, just devoured them.
I thought of all the people who would like it, you'd love it because it's very much like a comedian. It's like almost as if you can imagine a comedian taking an idea and just rolling with it on stage and taking it to these bizarre kind of surreal conclusions. And it feels very much like a comedian show in that respect. I thought you would get a lot out of it.
Yeah, it's got that, like one. I mean, I'm sure it had other writers, but it was Simon Rich that wrote it, wasn't it? It's like it's one person's show. It's got one direct vision to it, like Community did, and, you know, in the first few seasons, things like that. And I really appreciate that when you just go, one person's gone, this is what I want to do, and then they've done it. It's brilliant.
Mm.
Yeah.
Can I ask, does Transparent make it into this list?
Well, let's find out. At number 4, no, The Americans.
If it's a no, say so now.
It's a no.
Okay, well, let me just say, because we were on the subject of Amazon Prime, Christine, who I work with, got in touch with me. She has had an operation in hospital and she's got a long time lying in bed recovering, and she's been listening to our podcast. So, Christine messaged me furious at us. She's watched both season 1 and 2 of Transparent says that we're totally wrong. Concurs with what everyone said. It's real characters. You're not necessarily supposed to like them a whole lot, but you should like them for the fact that they're real and it's brilliant. And there we go. Another resounding cry at us for being wrong on that. Sorry, back to your chart.
That's the chart. Number 4, it's The Americans. Brilliant 80s Soviet spies, married couple with two kids living in America in the 80s. How did they get on? Season, I think it's season 4 or 5 I've just watched, really ratcheted up the tension. It's a show that takes so long building, but it does it so well, and it's so honest about what it does. It's a brilliant, brilliant spy thriller.
This is on Netflix, isn't it?
This isn't on Netflix. This will be in Amazon, Howell. Oh, okay. Right. And number 3, Bob's Burger. The most joyous animated comedy I've ever seen. And there's no cynicism to this at all, this show. And that's what I love about it. It's a family who own a burger bar. Mm. And they're just wonderful. The kids are brilliant.
That must be
funny.
why, for the same reason, you know, that's why I like Chuck, because it's not cynical, which is why I'm sure we're going to hear that in the top 2, because you'll have watched it.
Well, let's continue forth. Yeah, so Bob's Burger, I do recommend it. You know, if you're looking for a new animated comedy.
I'm tempted.
It's so good. It's got, and I tell you what, it's got some of the best comedy songs I've ever heard. Like, they really make some brilliant comedy music in that show as well. And number 2, Better Call Saul, season 2 was an epic, brilliant, wonderful series, once again brilliantly crafted by Gilligan. And at number 1, it has to be, it's got to be Game of Thrones season 6, which was a true thrill and just magnificent. Just benchmark,
it really does,
was raised.
When you think back to the season before, you really do realise how poor the season before this was.
Absolutely.
But it's just just, I mean, and the season before would probably beat a lot of the things in the top 10 anyway, but this is just on another level.
And you know what?
That finale was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
But, you know, and it came after episode 9 and you thought, this can't get better. And then they did that finale and you went, oh, yeah, they've done it. That's pretty good.
I read a really good article in the AV Club and it talks about how that episode almost feels like it's a different show. Like, it's got this different pace to it, hasn't it? It kind of, it felt different. It felt like, it felt very much like...
Well, it was five or 6 minutes longer or 7 minutes longer than the others. And the reason that, you know, I think it feels different for two main reasons. One is that they only had two settings. They were short time over it with Daenerys and then the second one at the battle. There's no spoilers here, by the way. And the second reason is that it doesn't take much, like 5 or 6 or 7 minutes is quite a long time in TV terms. And what it meant was in the middle of the battle, if you remember, there's that particular moment that they hold on for ages and you think that it's going to go one way, you know, basically the drowning scene. And in a normal TV, you know, the beats of our internal rhythm of watching something expected that was going to be the moment the credits rolled. But because there was another 6 or 7 minutes, it allowed them to dwell on that and then bring you back. So it kind of worked, I think, on our expectations and our internal rhythm of TV. That's what I think.
Superb.
Well,
wonderful,
that's
stuff.
An excellent list, Jamie. I'm glad.
I'll tell you what didn't make it in there, Hal. Line of Duty season 3 didn't make it in there. Veep didn't make it in there. The Night Manager didn't make it in there. Master of None, the Aziz Ansari comedy. Kimmy Schmidt didn't make it in there.
Now, this is just wrong. I mean, this list is a joke. It's a joke. Certainly, Kimmy and Aziz Ansari would be up there, possibly replacing.
The recent series of Veep has been brilliant. The most recent was fantastic. It's really good.
I'm still finishing off Parks and Rec because it's been released 2 episodes at a time on iTunes every week. it's just so good. It's so good.
What season are you up to then?
I'm not sure what the number is because they just number them, but it's got to where Anna's left and having a baby.
Right, okay.
So I'm presuming it's near the end. It feels like it's winding down. Is that right?
No, I think there's a few seasons after her.
Oh, crikey, okay.
I think so, yeah. There's 7 seasons overall. Jeez. And it ends... It's one of those shows that ends beautifully. You know, they wrap it up so lovely.
I just love it. And I think it beats Brooklyn Nine-Nine for me. You know, I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine. But the... In Brooklyn Nine-Nine, the fast pace has to win over everything. And with Parks and Rec, they really get into a character-driven situation. I recommend investing in Parks and Rec if you haven't. It's so good. So, is it time to move on to Tiernan's suggestion this week?
Let's do it.
Tiernan suggested that we watch a box set. This week, Jamie and I have watched that box set. The first episode of that box set, and Tiernan obviously is recommending it because he likes it and loves it, and we're now going to fight. Jamie and I don't know what each other thought of it. What I'll do is I'm going to try and hand over the reins now, because I think we need, as has been mentioned before in these situations, we need somebody else to MC when I'm giving my opinion. So Tiernan, you are now host of the box set part. Congratulations.
Okay, thank you very much. The show is iZombie, which is a comic book adaption of a comic that, I hadn't read before I watched the TV show, which never normally happens. And it's basically the story of the brilliantly named Liv Moore, who is a medical student, and at a boat party, she gets turned into a zombie, and she wakes up next day desperate for brains. And she ends up taking a job at the morgue in the police station there. And she finds that when she eats the brains of the victims of murders, she gets their memories. And so the show becomes a kind of weird zombie comedy drama crime story all at once. And it's got lots and lots of humour to it. I kind of see it as a bit like a modern day Buffy the Vampire Slayer. That's what I put it, with a kind of really strong female lead. And it very much is aware of what it is. You know, it's I'd assume it's probably aimed at teenagers, young people, but I think it's absolutely brilliant. It's quite fast-paced. It's got very fun characters, even though they're all annoyingly attractive. And yeah, it's especially kind of over the two seasons, it really builds and grows. It's got a lovely feel and pace to it, with certain shots starting with a picture from the comic books and then fading into that proper shot. And just... it really appeals to everything I like about a show. That's a fair enough summing up? Is that how many episodes have you guys seen? Just have you seen one of them each, or
just the pilot?
Just the one.
A pilot and a little bit more, perhaps.
Yeah. The pilot and a little bit more. Okay, so I'm scared to ask. This is a show that I'm genuinely I genuinely love this. I'm very excited about season three. And I should also say one thing, as it's been discussed in this podcast before, the lead is female. Her two best friends are an Asian man and a black cop. And that never happens in any TV show, apart from maybe Orange is the New Black. So it's quite amazing. Go on, Hatwell. What did you think? Oh, God.
Can I answer a question with a question?
You can, yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 35.
I entirely agree that this was made for teenage girls. I also agree that I like the transition at the beginning of scenes from a comic book shot into a real shot. Here's how the meeting went when they were coming up with this show. Walking Dead's huge. We need to cash in on the zombie thing. But it's too gruesome. We also need a teenage girl audience show, like The Wonder Years, for example. We also need a procedural crime thing. We also need a British science type guy and a goth girl. Misplaced love? How can they all mix together? Ooh, a zombie is an outcast who needs to learn to love herself. Much like The Wonder Years, but with way too much narration.
Well, you see, now where I'd immediately counteract that is that you've only seen one episode. It comes from the Vertigo DC comics, which are kind of like the darker comics, actually, of the DC world. That's why DC never kind of called them DC comics, they're called Vertigo. And I would say that as it goes on, it gets more gruesome. The murders get pretty grisly. The storylines develop a lot more.
Well, it was a potential Dexter. I mean, it was maybe. It just, what it was, Tiernan, and I watched the whole pilot, which is quite long. I was really surprised that this was your recommendation, because there was so much narration of the kind of, I was just thinking, I wanted to be a normal girl and I wanted to marry the love of
God,
my life.
Oh, God, they do that in the pilot. To be fair, that stops after the episode one.
Does it?
I'd completely forgotten. Yes, there's no narration. I'd completely forgotten that happened. As far as I know, there is no narration throughout any of the rest of the series.
Pretty sure that episode two stopped. Started with narration. Really? Pretty sure, but yeah,
it's there hasn't been any throughout the whole of season two. That's what my memory's freshest on.
Good. They've made a good decision.
The humour really, like, there's an episode in season two, for example, where they visit the set of a zombie TV show and complain about how there's too many of them and how hack it is to do a zombie TV show. It's very knowing and self-referential.
It is. But then, yeah, I suppose it is. I'm not saying that I didn't enjoy it.
Right.
I enjoyed it like maybe 15%. And I kind of like the idea, but it just felt so box-ticky and predictable. I was never surprised. Like, as soon as she had her first flash into the mind of a killer, it was like, at that point, you know everything that's going to happen from here on. Everything. You know everything that's going to happen with her fiancé. You know everything that's going to happen.
And again, we always have the four-episode rule, but the pilot very much is, bam, this is everything that happens, and then it does take off from there. There's a certain story arc that goes over the first series, and then the second one that arises over the second series. That the second series ends with quite a crazy climax and another very kind of dark change in direction. So I think there is a lot more to it than a kind of simplistic plot. But each episode does also have the very basic structure of somebody is murdered, she eats their brains and finds out what happens, with the kind of subplots all happening around it. So
yeah. But it's a procedural in that sense, and that's fine. But again, there's just that kind of the lack of surprise with it. It reminded me of watching the pilot of the new Supergirl, which I also thought was just so teenager and so
awful, really. And I did, you know, like I said on this podcast, so I think that might well be, it's pilot season. They make these things and then they wait and they see how they test and they see how they work. It really is a rough draft, if you like, that will then be changed. So it is difficult to judge things on that. But I just couldn't believe, I was just like, Tiernan loves this.
Well, I would also say, like, I was quite a big Buffy fan, and I think this has got a lot of airs, the same sort of air about it, you know. In that I think it's got a very right sense of humour. Ravi definitely, as the series progresses, gets an amazing sense of humour and gets some amazing kind of cutting remarks. He's brilliant.
Well, that's good, because at the moment it all seems a bit token, and I don't mean about race. I mean about British British scientists sort of thing. Jamie hasn't expressed an opinion. I will be quiet now.
Well, I'm surprised you don't like it, Howell, because it reminded me of Chuck.
Actually, in the same sort of tone
and the sort of offhand characters.
Well, you know what I was concerned about? Also was saying this to Tiernan, because I remember Tiernan was very supportive of Chuck, and I did have that same thought. I went, look, this is a thin on the ground piece of entertainment, if you like, and Tiernan was very supportive with mine. I think the difference being that it was such an introspective teenage girl diary thing. It was about being an outsider and trying to discover who I am in the world. And Chuck very much isn't that. It's a sci-fi adventure nonsense, you know.
Well, I mean, I like the concept. I think I like the idea. It's a nice twist on the zombie thing. She's a zombie, but she's trying to pretend she's human. And she eats brains and she gets the memories of the person's brains and help solve their murder. I like it as a concept. I actually think it's a very nice concept for a show. And I thought the main girl in it, who I've never seen before, Rose McIver, was very good. I didn't like the plot of the first show, because basically this was one of the things that annoyed me a little bit about it, was that the plot was basically the guy who was the murderer in the show was murdering prostitutes because he had his ring was stolen, his wedding ring.
Yeah, but I think he was a psychopath. I think his logic
was a bit flimsy.
Yeah.
Does the bad guy Blaine turn up in episode one, or does he not turn up till?
No.
He's quite a bit. I don't know if you ever watched Alias back in the years ago, but he was one of the main bad guys in Alias. I'm trying to remember the name of the actor now. But he becomes a kind of a main villain from episode two onwards, and I think that gives the show an extra edge to it as well, because he's particularly nasty, but also again quite sort of dry sense of humour to him.
Because it's. I think it needs something. I think I'm glad that it's got some kind of a bigger character, a bigger darker character come in to test her, because it feels like it needs a good villain.
I mean, I will also be honest in that this is not a TV show I watch in the same way I'd watch, say, Better Call Saul. I watch this for brain dead enjoyment, no pun intended.
I get
and
that.
You know, that kind of proper switch of your mind and go, right, let's just, an hour of this is going to be fun. You know, I'm going to sort of know where it goes to an extent. But I would also say that I think it does definitely develop past the pilot point to kind of, I mean, as with every TV show, where it fleshes out the characters, again, pun not intended, you know.
But I'm glad that you made this choice. You know, I wish more people on this podcast would be unafraid of watching things that are popcorn, and that we shouldn't apologise for it. I really want to make it clear that I hate inverted snobbery, and I hate the idea, or just snobbery, sorry, and I hate snobbery of any kind, and I hate the idea that it might sound like I'm going, this is a bit cheap, but as you know, I am a huge fan of everything Disney and the Muppets and Chuck, and you know, I love all that stuff. I just thought that when ranked against those things, this pilot episode is very much at the bottom of those things for me.
Sure.
And so, but you have persuaded me to continue. You know, this is the power of this podcast. When you get to know somebody whose opinion that you believe that you trust, then you should carry on. Parks and Rec, you persuaded me to carry on with that. And as I've said, it's one of the best things I've ever watched. It's brilliant.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. I mean, I definitely give it a few episodes and see, especially, I do think that the character Blaine, I can't remember the name of his, Jamie, you normally have these things off the top of your head. I can't remember the name of the actor that plays him, but he's a brilliant villain. And it really does give an extra kind of edge to it, definitely. Mm-hmm. So yeah, give it a few. I'm not going to hold my breath or my hopes up, really. But
I'm sorry to Weon.
No, I think it's probably quite a fair assumption. I mean, I should say as well that I'm a sucker for TV adaptions of comic books because I'm a comic books fan. Mm. And so that was the main reason I went to this in the first place, because the comic books are quite...
Had you read them already?
No, not properly, which is rare, as I said, for a TV show. Normally I've read all comics first, but I've read a little bit of them and quite enjoyed them.
Well, perhaps if I knew that it had come from a genuine comic, then I would have had this kind of more, less cynical underlying belief. I expected to be scared.
Yeah, it's not scary at all.
Ever. Yeah.
But I think one of the things it needs, like, from the first episode is an element of danger, though, because if it's so blasé about the whole her becoming a zombie and life and death, become, it's quite a blot, it's quite sort of, throw away with how it all happens, that you kind of lose that element of fear for her life or fear for what happens to her as a character. And I think, and maybe that changes as it gets a better villain, or the dangers change to her life and the characters that you care about in it. But it needs, it feels to me like this show has a, it's got quite a nice, like, comedic style to it. It just needs more danger in there.
But that's because it's a teenage girl, Jamie. You know, it's going,
well, yeah.
Yeah, so what? I broke my arm. It doesn't matter. So what? I became a zombie. And I was like, I don't even care. I don't even care about anything. And then at the end of the episode, I'm going to go, you know what? I can't control what my mom thinks of me. I can't control of what my fiance thinks of me, but I can control whether I enjoy myself tonight.
That was quite upsetting, but strangely arousing.
I think Tiernan, I was much more looking forward to ripping into Tiernan. Now that I've done it, I feel cruel, ill-informed. I feel bad. I feel like I've just crushed and stood on a puppy. And when I, what I wanted to do was go, Tiernan, what happened to you at the age of 13? Because it's arrested development. Why are you watching this?
Well, I do stand-up comedy as a job. Of course I've got arrested development. What the fuck? You know? Right.
But the thing is, like, it is, iZombie is very popular and it's rated very highly on, like, IMDb. It gets quite high ratings on Metacritic. And so this is a popular show.
You've been very formal and critical and used your brain a lot. What did you feel when you were watching? Did you enjoy? Did you?
You know what? Halfway through,
human, Jamie. Where's the emotion?
Halfway through, I was actually thinking, I'm looking for a new light-hearted show. This might just fit the bill.
Chuck!
And
that's good. I was worried you were going to say, I'm looking for a, you know, distraction fan or something. You suddenly remembered that you had to, you know, take the rubbish out. So that's what that sounded like you were going to.
No, I actually, halfway through, I was getting quite into the into it. I just felt like I was disappointed by the end, and that doesn't mean I'm not going to stick with it, but I did feel a little bit let down by the way it ended the instant film. Yeah.
Did you?
It annoyed me a bit at the end.
So you're looking for a light-hearted box set, Jamie? Just do Chuck. If you finally watch every episode of Chuck, I'll shut up about it forever.
Yeah, but I'm doing iZombie now, Howell.
But it's crap compared to Chuck. Tiernan, you don't know any better. Go for Chuck. How far through Chuck did you get, Tiernan?
I watched an episode.
Jesus! Please, both of you. Tiernan, I will swap you. iZombie.
All right. I promise. All right.
I will carry on if you promise you will carry on with Chuck.
All right, that's how I can do that.
You were right about Parks and Rec, okay? I said the same thing to you about Chuck. The first season, yeah, it's good. There's some funny bits. Stick with it. You're going to freaking love it. You're going to love it, like the characters in Parks and Rec. You're going to love it.
I might consider going back to Chuck, okay? All right, I might consider it.
Right, what's next week? Christian.
Is it Christian?
Oh, yeah,
yes.
Silicon Valley, isn't it?
Silicon Valley. Okay, so next week, Silicon Valley with Christian.
Week after that, we've got to do Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, 9th of August, no. Gilmore Girls with Mel. There you go.
Oh, okay, all right.
Right, okay. Well, thanks very much, Tiernan. Off you go.
That's all right.
Put your Avril Lavigne album on and go and slam your door.
I really hope to you know, in a few episodes' time, when you're a little way into iZombie, that you regret this horribly.
Yeah, so do I. And I hope that you too regret not picking up Chuck sooner, which you're going to do.
Thanks for ruining one of my favourite shows.
I'm sorry. Don't cry.
I know, really, Jake.
If there's any consolation, I am going to watch it all just to do it. But you've got to carry on with Chuck.
All right. Done deal.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Okay.
Fair play.
See ya.
Cool. All right.